Muy buenas tardes, un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y a todos los ministros y hermanos y hermanas.
Good afternoon. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the ministers and brothers and sisters who are gathered today, Friday, June 13th of this year 2025, and to those connected in different countries through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, and also through the Internet. For today, as our subject, we have the 40 days of Jesus on earth before the rapture. Preached on Sunday, April 3rd of 2016 in Calle, Puerto Rico. And he read to us the book of Acts 1, 1-11 and also 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3-11. From which we will read that portion of 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 3, where it tells us, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep." There on the left he writes 500 brethren. "After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." The 40 days of Jesus on earth before the rapture. You may please be seated. In the message, Fishing Offshore, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on November 7, 2000, in Talcahuano, Chile, he tells us, God gave the Reverend William Branham a dream or a vision, where he put him in a lake, where the Reverend William Branham was fishing, in a lake with crystal clear water. And he saw a lot of trout and big fish there. And he wanted to catch big fish. And the angel told him that he would teach him how to fish. He told him that he had to cast his line with the hook very deep in. In other words, he had to cast his line with the hook very far, and cast it very deep. That meant throwing it into the deepest part of the lake, and the big fish were there, because the big fish are in the deepest part, and the angel was going to teach him how to fish. To catch one, to succeed in catching a big fish, would be by stages. In the first stage, little fish would appear. Then in the second stage, with the pull he would give, the little fish would follow the bait that was on the hook. And then the big fish would see the little fish following something, and the big fish would follow after the small fish. Now notice, in this story, which is found in the book of quotations, let us turn there for a moment on page 12. From the book of quotations, which is paragraph 97. And we will also have the booklet open of the angel of the Lord visits William Branham, which is a magazine or the booklet, volume 4, number 2, which they placed at the end of the message, the anointed ones at the end time, is on the back here, where he also narrates that vision, which is on page 12 on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 97. And we're going to see here where we start, where it says, I saw a hand move out in front of me, from my right side. Here on the booklet would be page 74. And I saw a hand move out in front of me. This is, we are on page 12 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 97. The right column, at the top, after a small part at the top, like a fourth part, more or less, where I began to read. I saw a hand move out in front of me from my right side, and as it did, in other words, on the right side where he was, and he in the booklet on the left, he writes, the angel on the right side. And that is something very important. The angel always appears on the right side. And as it did, I seemed to go into still another higher dimension. I could no longer hear Meta, my wife, in the room. There on the right, in the booklet, he draws a cornerstone, the ages and the seventh age. I was standing by the side of a beautiful lake, and I have never seen such a clear water in my life. When I first went into the ministry 9 years ago, I had seen a vision and I was catching fish, but the fish had big white and black spots on them. They didn't look right. But now in this vision, I saw in the clear water great beautiful rainbow trout, and the lake was extremely large. All around stood hundreds and hundreds of ministers catching little fish. I said in my heart, I am as good as fisher as they are, or even better than they are. Here he draws Star of David in the booklet. I wanted to catch the large. I wanted to catch the large, beautiful fish, and I began to prepare my line and lure. Here in the version, he says, I wanted to catch the large, beautiful fish, and began to prepare my line and lure. And there, he draws a Star of David to the left, in the booklet. And in the Book of Quotations, he writes on the left, 153 fish, and the scripture of John 21:11. Then, from my right side, behind me, came the same voice of the angel of the Lord, who had spoke to me since I was a child, saying, I will teach you how to fish. I will teach you how to fish, but you must keep quiet. Don't say anything about it. Here, look, he says in the booklet, then from my right side behind me came the same voice of the angel of the Lord, and here on the left in the booklet he writes, the angel of the Lord, right side. He said, fasten on your lure. This I did. Then he said, now to catch those big fish, you have to go way out in the deep water. I swung and cast with all my might, and the line went out in full length. And he said, that was good. And here in the Book of Quotations, on the right, he draws a Star of David, and he writes upward. The big fish today, two dots, in the third pool, in the final catch, two dots, the fisherman, comma, the fisherman. I swung and cast with all my might, and the line went out in its full length. He said, that was good. And the lure sank almost to the bottom of the clear water. He said, now, first pull easy and get the attention of the little fish. Here on the booklet he says, now first pull easy and get the attention of the little fish. Then pull faster and pull the lure away from them, and the big fish will take after it when they see the little fish chasing it. Remember, keep still and don't say anything about this to anyone. For the third pull, set your line tight. You're ready for the catch. I said, I understand. And he writes on the left, the third pull for the big fish. This is from the booklet. So you can see the translation of this one here. Here in the book of quotations, it says, now first pull easy and get the attention of the little fish. Then pull faster and pull the lure away from them. And the big fish will take after it when they see the little fish chasing it. Remember, keep still and don't say anything about this to anyone. For the third pull, set your line tight. You are ready for the catch. There he draws two stars of David to the right, here in the book of quotations. Now I'm going to read from the little booklet. All the ministers began coming around me saying, Brother Branham, we know you can catch fish. And he draws Star of David on the right. I replied, oh yes, I know how to do it. Then I began to explain to them the exact method told me by the angel of the Lord. I got so excited trying to show the ministers how to fish that I jerked the lure completely out of the water, catching a fish about the size of the lure. It seemed as though the skin of the fish was stretched tight over the lure. I wondered how I would ever get it off. The angel of the Lord walked from behind me on my right side. See? There he writes again on the left side, the angel on the right side, and came directly in front of me. The same one I have always seen, a tall man strong, the size of a 200-pound man. Here, in the book of quotations, on the right he writes, the angel, dash 200 pounds. Large arms, dressed in a white robe, barefooted, dark hair. He looked me straight in the face and said, just what I told you not to do, you did. I thought, this is the end of me now. Here on the right, also in the book of quotations, he writes, below but writing up, where he wrote the angel 200 pounds, he writes, dark hair, dark olive skin tone. He looked me straight in the face and said, just what I told you not to do, you did. I thought, this is the end of me now. He said, the first time I told you to pull slowly and to keep quiet about it was when I made known to you the diseases of the people, when they would put their hands on yours. Your second pull, when I told you to pull faster and to keep quiet about it, was when I gave you visions to know the secrets of people's heart. And as you predicted what I told you, I did just what I said to you. Instead of keeping quiet about these things, you got on the platform and made a public show of these divine gifts. Look what you have caused. A lot of carnal impersonations. Notice, Brother William writes there on the left, on the booklet, he writes, be careful. He wrote, be careful. Here in the booklet on page 13, above, there he writes, the angel was the one who gave the visions. I'm reading from the booklet, from the little booklet. I started weeping real loud. I said, I'm sorry, sir, that I did that. My line was piled up all around my feet. I had the lure in my hand, and I was crying. I've been pulling the line through my teeth, trying to straighten it out. Then he looked at me real sternly and said, don't get your line tangled up in these kind of times. Here in the Book of Quotations says, don't get your line tangled up in these kinds of times. I said, I will try not to get it tangled up anymore, kind sir. Then I seemed to go into a still another higher dimension. Here in the Book of Quotations, he writes, Pentecostal. The fishing line I had in my hand turned into a shoestring. In the Book of Quotations, he writes, shoelace. And he draws a cornerstone, the ages, the seventh age, and an arrow towards the seventh age, about 1/2 inch in diameter. I was holding a baby's shoe with eyelets about 1/8 inch in diameter. I was trying to put this 1/2-inch shoestring through one of the 8-inch eyelets, and I had broken many threads in the shoestring. The angel of the Lord was still standing in front of me, and he asked me sternly, yet kindly, what are you trying to do? And to the left he draws, to the left he writes, the angel of the Lord. And notice where he says, what are you trying to do? He circles that a lot. Here in the Book of Quotations, where it says baby's shoe, he writes Pentecostals. On belt, he writes shoestrings on top, the shoestring. And he also writes on the left, where it says the angel of the Lord, he writes on the left, the angel. I answered, I am trying to lace this shoe. He said, you're using the wrong end of the string. And notice what he drew. We have already used it in some study. A cornerstone, the ages, the seventh age. The seventh age drawn out. In other words, the line. And the shoelace. Well, it's backwards there. He is putting the thick shoelace in the seventh age, and the end that has the little metal part that went in easily, from there aligned to the cornerstone. I looked down at the other end of the string and noticed it was reduced and bound with a metal tip that would easily go through the eyelet. I said, oh, I am sorry, sir. I hadn't noticed that I was using the wrong end. He said, you can't teach babies supernatural things without causing carnal comparisons. And here in the Book of Quotations, he writes Pentecostals. He wrote it on top. And also on the left side upward, he writes, little shoe, Pentecostal babies. He wrote it upward. Then I felt myself going to another still higher dimension. Here in the booklet, he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And in the Book of Quotations, above another still higher dimension, he writes, the age of the cornerstone. And he draws a little cornerstone on the right, And on the left, he also draws another cornerstone, and in both, arrows pointing to them. I was standing in the air, in the largest tent I have ever seen in my life. I was above the people, with the platform down below me. I had just finished preaching and had made the altar call. Here in the book of quotations it says, and I had just finished preaching and I had made the altar call. He continues in the booklet, there were hundreds times hundreds of people standing with their hands up in the air, weeping. I was trying to make my feet go down where they were, but I remained up in the air. Now notice, in the message that we will be seeing today, there he tells us about that higher dimension. He says, it was a full place. He says, then he goes on to a higher dimension where he sees a great tenth cathedral. And it was a full place, a place full of people who were receiving Christ as Savior. Now notice how not even our brother William could speak openly the entire content of the third pool, because it was said that nothing could be spoken about that last pool, because that was the catch that Brother Branham wanted. In other words, to put the big fish, represented in the 153 fish, in the age of the cornerstone, through that manifestation of the Holy Spirit working in that third pool. Now, do you see how there are people receiving the Lord? Of course. It's like when he said that in a portion there in the book of quotations, he said that the person said, while Brother Branham is taking a moment's rest, and there he rests above, reflecting himself. Because it was a time where God was working through that instrument. And that's why it was Brother Branham who was reflecting himself in the one through whom the Holy Spirit was carrying out that work through that instrument. And here when he says they were receiving Christ as their Savior during the dispensation of grace, that was the work that was being carried out. And it was the work to be done for people to receive Christ as their Savior and to be baptized. Now notice that an opportunity is given there. That altar call is made. And the people, notice, it says that they are there with their hands up in the air receiving the Lord. But remember that Christ, Messiah, and Anointed One are the same thing. Now, to receive the Lord during the dispensation of grace, notice that then it went to the other stage of baptisms. But in this event, under the third pool, when he is no longer on the throne of intercession, because he already left the throne of intercession, and he is as judge, and he's now working through that new mercy seat. So he shows there how, after receiving the Lord, he says, whom? The Anointed One. They move on to the prayer line. There are no baptisms in the third pool. Those who are coming there are seen going into that new stage. It is a new way, which that mystery is being opened more and more at this end time. Those who are going back are going to Laodicea, to the dispensation that already closed. They are in there where Satan's throne is. And all the leaders are deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, here in the third pool, it is shown that after that call, that altar call, they go to the prayer line. Now, all of that is by stages. And what God has given us today, first, is the revelation, the miracle of the revelation of the seventh seal, of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. Everything moves progressively. Now notice, he goes on to say, I was above the people with the platform down below me. I had just finished preaching. See? In other words, he saw there preaching. He was reflecting himself then. That is, in the tenth vision, he saw a preacher. What would the church bride be seeing in the fulfillment of the tenth vision? Well, a preacher, an instrument. I had just finished preaching. I had made the altar call. There were hundreds times hundreds of people standing with their hands up in the air, weeping. I was trying to make my feet go down to where they were, but I remained up in the air. And he writes on the left, he was in another dimension, here in the booklet. He was in another dimension. A real kind-hearted, pleasant-looking man stepped out before the people and said, "Dear friends, while our brother Branham is taking a moment's rest, let us see if we can find quickly where he wrote reflecting himself. It is also here in the Book of Quotations on page 25, paragraph 211, that he is narrating again this vision. And there is where he says, in the little part where he says, now they will form the prayer line while Brother Branham is making ready. Then he writes, Elijah reflecting himself. See? There Brother Branham is reflecting himself in the one that is carrying out everything in the vision. While our Brother Branham is taking a moment's rest from this marvelous altar call, we will form the prayer line to the right. After the invitation there, then go to the prayer line. They don't go to baptisms in water. In other words, notice, what is the spirit of the Antichrist trying to deceive the elect of God? But the elect of God will not be deceived. Now, this is a mystery that was sealed until this end time, where that mystery would be opened to avoid imitations, imitators, impersonators, like what happened in the first and second pool. A prayer line formed completely around the inside of the tent, out into the street, and down the street as far as I could see. Inside the tent, I saw a canvas stretched about 4 feet high. That is, a stretched-out canvas, with a gate in this canvas fence, that is, made of canvas. Inside this fence sat a little square wooden room. Here on the left, in the booklet, he writes, in the tent, a 4-foot canvas fence. A lady was standing at the gate of the canvas fence, taking the name and prayer card of the lady laying on a wheeled stretcher. Behind the stretcher was a man on crutches, and the lady took his name and card also. A strong man come out and pushed the lady on the street through the gate of the canvas fence and through a door into the little wooden room. I heard the familiar swishing sound made by the light that accompanies my ministry, and I saw it go from me to the little room. The angel of the Lord was still standing by me in the air. He said to me, I'll meet you in there. I saw his hand pointing to the little room. He added, this is the third pool. I said, I don't understand this. He replied, in there I will meet you. And he writes here in the booklet, it's the ministry of the Lord in his second coming. I watched and saw the sick lady coming out a door on the opposite side of the little room. And he writes here in the Book of Quotations, to the right. And he draws a Star of David there on the right as well. opposite side. That is, he writes above that, the opposite side. He writes on the right. She was off the stretcher, pushing it. Here in the Book of Quotations, he draws all that exactly in the booklet. The little room, the pulpit, the platform, and that whole movement there, which the instrument is the one that would be aware, would know how all that would be carried out and how to place everything in its position. She was off the stretcher pushing it. A lady was there to get her testimony on a tape recorder and ask what happened in the little room. She answered, "I don't know." Now above, I forgot to tell you here in this booklet, let us see where it was written here. We had already read this also, but so that it is also included here in the study, he writes, "Big fish equals the chosen ones, the wise virgins, and the 144,000. Those are the big fish. Little fish equals the foolish virgins. Big fish equals the chosen ones, the wise virgins, and the 144,000. Little fish, the foolish virgins." Now he goes on to say, "Then came the man out, carrying his crutches. The lady asked him what happened in the little room, and he answered, 'I don't know.' The angel of the Lord said, 'This will not be a public show.'" Let's see in the Book of Quotations, a public show. "And he draws a Star of David on the right. And above he writes here in the Book of Quotations, at the top on the margin, he wrote, 'The King's Chamber.'" It's not written in the scripture of our Lord's words, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret." And he writes in heaven, above here, "And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Be not as the hypocrites that make their public shows of things, but go into your secret closet. Then the angel of the Lord and I descended into the little room. What he said to me there, I will have to keep it a secret the rest of my life." Here in the Book of Quotations, he writes, "What he said to me there," that is, "what he said to me there, I will have to keep it a secret the rest of my life." That paragraph said there at the end, Brother Branham said that. And he writes on the right, "Closet, door." He wrote that there also. And on the left, in the booklet, here he writes, "The tent, and the 50 Elijah, and second Moses, and second Jesus." Notice, it is the ministry of Elijah, of Moses, and of Jesus, which at this end time, the Holy Spirit is operating in the midst of his church through that last dispensational messenger, who, here, notice, he writes, "It is the ministry of the Lord in his second coming." It is the ministry of the Lord in his second coming. Now, he goes on to say in the message that we are reading, "Fishing Offshore," there he tells us, there's a place here where Brother Branham, let us see, in the one of the serpent's seed, notice on page 47, they're already ending that message. He says, "I just have to preach the word. I cast a net and pull it in. There is frogs and there is water spiders and there is snakes and there is some fish too. That's up to God to decide that. I just pull the net, just preach the word and pull it in and say, here they are, Lord, all around the altar. You know your own. You've known them since the foundation. I don't know which is which. You do. So it's up to you, Lord. That's the best I can do. I'll go over here and send somewhere else now and get another group in. That's all I can do. And he writes to the right, the net and the catch. And he also writes on the left, the net and its fish. That is like the parable of Matthew chapter 13. That when the net is full, they draw it to shore and take out the good because all sorts of things come in there. But notice, God in this end time, in the third pool, is catching those big fish that the Reverend William Branham wasn't able to catch. There were all sorts of things. But notice, it is the ministries of Moses and Elijah, the ones carrying out that separation, that segregation between right and wrong. Now, our brother William continues to say here in this message, fishing offshore, but he did something where he only went as far as the second pool, and he wasn't able to catch the big fish. And then he went to other visions that also had to do with that miraculous catch of big fish. And in other visions and in other ways, God showed him what the catch of the big fish would be under the third pool. And it has to do with the opening of the title deed. It has to do with the revelation of the seven seals. It has to do with all that entire divine program that God will carry out at this end time. See? It has to do with the title deed. Without the title deed, there can be no resurrection, no transformation. The title deed must be in the midst of the church to first give the rapturing faith to the elect, so that then God carries out that work in that third pool in its faces, and so that the resurrection and the transformation can take place. But we already know all the things that will be carried out as that third pool unfolds. A little further on this same message, by the word of the Lord, which corresponds to this end time, that miraculous catch of fish of the last day will be carried out in the deep sea, in Latin America and the Caribbean, and then it will be with the Hebrew people. Now notice that there they have gathered, in that time was gathered, everything, as Brother Branham said there. And there came frogs, there came spiders, and sea spiders, and serpents, and everything came along. But the big fish were also there. But in the third pool at the same time, the ministering angels, the reaping angels, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, were to carry out that separation, which then with that full net, then he draws it to shore, and sitting down, they gather the good in vessels and cast away the bad. Notice he tells us also here, in the message, the power of the Holy Spirit becoming incarnate and working in his church, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on March 22, 2009, in Buena Vista, Minatitlán, Veracruz, Mexico. Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, in this message, just as we have seen throughout biblical history, that manifestation of the Holy Spirit through veils of flesh in the Old Testament culminated in the manifestation in human flesh in Jesus at the last day. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit through veils of flesh will culminate in a veil of flesh through which he will work and bring to fulfillment all things that have been promised for his church for this end time. And we will see him in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Now, how was that the Holy Spirit was working in the Old Testament? Well, through veils of flesh. And then he became incarnate in the person of Jesus. And it says that for the last day, he has come from age to age in veils of flesh. And each one carried out their work in their time and departed. And then that Holy Spirit, which on page 154 of the Book of the Seals, he said, When that Holy Spirit become incarnate, then that is when we would crown Him. In other words, we would recognize Him. We would see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit fulfilling the prophecies of the tenth vision, which is what He spoke to us in those words when He told us that when you would see that prophet messenger of the seventh seal fulfilling the prophecies which corresponds to the tenth vision, He says, when you see that prophet messenger of the seventh seal, see, there is where the church would be seeing that prophet messenger, who is the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. He says, you will be seeing the coming of the Lord with Moses and Elijah. That is why it is the ministry of the Lord in His second coming, fulfilling the prophecies of the third pool in the vision of the great tenth cathedral. And you will see me there again. We will see Him again there, because there is where the resurrection will take place. All those who have departed will return in the resurrection. But before that, the church bride must be receiving the rapturing faith through the Holy Spirit incarnate at the same time. As simple as that. Now notice in the message, the Anointed Ones at the End Time, on page 34, the Reverend William Branham tells us there, now, search over the world, take every cult, take every clan, take every man, take every church. I charge you in Christ's name to do this, you preachers. I charge you to read the newspapers or take consideration anywhere you want to go and see if it isn't on the earth right now, see? Then Matthew 24:24 is exactly right. False anointed ones will rise in the last days and will be false prophets and shall deceive many. Watch it in the times now, as it comes now, see, shall deceive many. Prophets, plural. Christ anointed, plural. Many different ones. The Methodist, you know, and Baptist, and the Pentecostals, and so forth. And even those who are on their own. In other words, the independent ones, those are the worst. See? But there is one genuine Christ spirit, and that's the Word made flesh, as He promised to do it. And He writes to the left upward, the Word made flesh is the Holy Spirit. Now we'll move on just a little further to some more scriptures. Until God got enough of it, there on the Word made flesh, on the left He also draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Now we'll move on just a little further to some more scriptures. Until God got enough of it, then it was over. Their folly was made manifest. Notice, remember, the shock looks exactly like the wheat grain. See, now, you couldn't say back there in the Lutheran age, the stalk was the wheat. Yet, it's got the life in it. Stalk is all right. The life in the stalk was all right. But remember, the life advanced on. Advanced from Elijah to Elisha. The life keeps advancing on. There he writes, from Elijah 1 to Elisha 2. Fourth Elijah to the fifth Elijah. Life keeps advancing on. When a messenger departs, God sends another messenger. But remember, it is in another stage. It can't remain in that stage. We can't eat the carrion of some other age. We can't eat Pentecostal carrion, Methodist or Baptist. See? It's become carrion. We have fresh food, the word of this hour, so forth. And He draws a cornerstone to the left. Remember, the shock is exactly like the grain of wheat. You can't, it didn't look like it in the blade, it didn't look like it in the tassel, but it sure did in the shock. Didn't look like it in the Jesus Christ, the same yesterday in Luther, didn't look like in Wesley. But it sure does in Pentecost, a deceive the very elect if it was possible. On the left he writes upward, it will deceive the very elect if it were possible. See, there is your ages. But remember, that Pentecostal church in the last days was the Laodicea, and Christ was turned out, the kernel, the wheat itself. When He tried, Remember, when he tried to manifest himself in the church, he was taken out. Here, in the bottom part of that paragraph, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and a Star of David there above the cornerstone. It was still a church claimed to be anointed. But here is the word, Christ himself. That's the anointed word which shall come. And there he writes above, Moses and Elijah, which shall come for the rest of his body, the bride. The anointed, there on the right upward, he writes the word made flesh. And on the left, a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone of the same water that watered the wheat, as we talk about, also waters the tares, anointed ones. Only the elected or predestinated will be able to detect the difference between them. Only the elect will be able to differentiate who is the true anointed of God. And they will be able to differentiate between the wheat and the tares. Modern events are made clear by prophecy, on page 24. The Reverend William Branham tells us here, "And you receive me not, another will come, and him you will receive. You'll take your denominations and go on with them. Just go ahead," the Bible says. "They were raised up to fulfill this place, blind, naked, and don't know it. Church, religions, oh, very pious, just the same as Cain was. Make a sacrifice, make everything just the same as Abel did. But by revelation it was revealed to him what the sacrament was, not fruits of the field or something you do with your hand. The believer can see the Word made flesh," and above he writes, "the Word made flesh. The others cannot do it." Now notice here when he spoke to us and said that will culminate in a veil of flesh through which he will work and bring to fulfillment all things that have been promised for his church at this end time. And we will see him in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Who was the church going to see? The Word made flesh. And who would see him? The believer. The unbeliever will not see him. Don't push him, because the unbeliever will never see the Word incarnate. Instead, he will mock, criticize, blaspheme, but he will never ever be able to identify the Holy Spirit, because he is not a seed of God. He is not an attribute of God. As simple as that. The believer, I'm continuing here in modern events, the believer can see the Word made flesh, and on top he writes, the Word made flesh. The others cannot do it. All them Israelites, after they had seen Moses perform that and brought them right up to the great council where it was to be held, every one of them said, "We'll go with Balaam, because we think Dr. Balaam is right. He's smarter, he's more educated, everything, so we'll just take it." And God never did forgive them. There on the left he writes, Balaam. And God never did forgive them. He destroyed them right there in the wilderness. And Jesus said himself, "They'll never come. There's none of them saved," Jesus said. They said, "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness for 40 years. He said, "They're everyone dead, eternally separated from God." They're everyone dead. Certainly, because they listened to an error. And that is what some are following. Those false anointed ones, false Christ, false prophets. They are listening to an error. When Moses, the vindicated of God, and a leader to show them the way to the promised land, and they had come so far all right, but then they wouldn't go on with him. Now, believers can see it, but unbelievers cannot see that vindicated. See? And there on the left he writes, the believers can see the Word made flesh vindicated. The Word made flesh doing what? Fulfilling the prophecies of the third pool. Do you see how simple everything is? And on the front he writes, the believers And he writes on top, genes of God. If they're not believers, they don't have a gene from God. They are unbelievers. They are descendants of Cain, of the old serpent, which is the devil, Satan. The believers can see God made flesh. On top he writes the promised word. They can see God made flesh today. Others cannot. See? The believers can see God made flesh today. Others cannot. Above the believers, there he writes, genes of God. And above, can see God made flesh, he writes, the promised word. Now, through that manifestation, is that the word would be judged. Because notice, in the message, standing in the gap, on page 5, the Reverend William Branham tells us here in this message, he says, but he'll not judge it by any church, to my opinion, because there is too much differences and too much confusion. But he'll judge it. The Bible says he'll judge the world by Jesus Christ. That is the ministry of Jesus. Now, that's scriptural. Now, and the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So, He is the Word, and this is Christ in letter form. And in the book of Apocalypse to the Catholic, Revelation to the Protestant, in the 22nd chapter, when this book was finished, Jesus said Himself, if any man will take one word from this book, or add one word to it, the same his part will be taken from the book of life. So, the reason we believe this, and stay just exactly, nothing, three dots, he can do things that he hasn't written here. We know that. But as long as we just stay with what he has wrote, that'll be fine. Now, notice that. It is very important. He can do things that he hasn't written here. Anyone may say, but show me where he said that the door was closed. But if it was spoken and said, it was spoken by the mouth of the one who has to speak it. The thing is that they haven't identified who that manifestation of the seventh seal on earth is. As simple as that. But notice that everything would be carried out in a way so that the same ones who are fighting against don't do an imitation and don't start imitation and impersonating, but are instead all confused and don't know and start to speak an error which several people or some people will follow, but the elect will not be deceived. He can do things that he hasn't written here, we know that. No. He writes there, God will judge the world through Jesus Christ. The prophets are the judgment of God. And he writes on the front, God will judge the world through the Word made flesh. And he also writes on the back, God will judge the world through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Because God always works through human flesh. Now, one of the judgments, notice, that many people will have, let us turn to page 15 of the message, The Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ. The Reverend William Branham tells us there, but now look what, Hollywood has took the virtuous things from our women. I'm sitting here looking at dear old woman, Sister Schrader, many of the women here and back, and Sister Moore over here, the older women that remembers a few years ago, if their mother or even them would have walked out on the street, the way some of these women walk today, church members, they'd have locked the woman up for being insane. She forgot to put on her skirt. Well, if it was insane then, it's insane now. He writes, Revelation 11, 12 to 17, and 9, 1 to 21. Look at the murderers and things that's going on now in the world. See? Insanity. The whole thing is coming to fulfill Revelations. We may get to it this week. And read Revelation 11 from 12 to 17. And also Revelation 9 from 1 to 21. And you will see all those horrific things there. We may get to it this week where those hideous things, them is not natural. That's spiritual things that make people scream for the rocks and the mountains and everything else to fall on them. Now remember that that was what we saw there in the Book of the Seals on page 425. 425 tells us that they had been in meetings like this and they had spurned God's mercy for the last time. And there is where he writes, Elijah and Moses, he who receives this message receives mercy. And in that paragraph, 370, in that sentence at the top, he says, and when you spurn mercy, and there he draws Star of David. In other words, the ministries of Moses and Elijah, there is nothing left but judgment. When you spurn mercy, just think of it. And there they was. They had no place to go, no retreat. And the Bible said there, they call for the cried out to the rocks. But notice, here is where he said, in the invisible union, preach on 65, on the year that he departed, a month before he left. He mentions this, that he preached on 63 in the opening of the sixth seal. And they was. They had no place to go, no retreat. And the Bible said here, they called for the cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall on us and hide us from the face of the, and he writes, the judge, of him that sitteth on the throne. And he writes, throne of David, because he comes as son of David, and the wrath of the Lamb, and he writes, lion. John saw a lamb, but the elder told him, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. There is where many stumble. They try to repent, but the lamb had come to claim his own. And they say, but the resurrection still hasn't happened yet. Well, he is carrying out the claiming work. How could the resurrection take place if the church is still receiving the rapturing faith and he's still in that claiming work, catching those fish, making that pool, catching those big fish? Wait a bit. For him to finish to carry out the work under the third pool, and then the resurrection will take place. In the meantime, we are in those phases, in those stages of the third pool. But the Lamb had come to claim his own, see? And they crowd to the rocks and the mountains. And he writes, kingdoms and rulers prayed, but the prayers were too late. And he writes, there was no blood on the mercy seat. Prayers outside of acceptable time. He wrote that there. And he says, with Elijah and Moses, claim. It is the ministry of Moses and Elijah at that claiming work, carrying out the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Now he goes on to say, them is not, the invisible union, them is not natural. That's spiritual things that make people scream for the rocks and the mountains and everything else to fall on them. The complete, total insanity this world will go into right away. And he writes there to the left, insanity, and they see the fifth dimension. People who will become more and more insane, seeing spirits and things from the fifth dimension. They will be tormented because they spurned the ministry of Moses and Elijah. And all of that will build progressively for them as well. The complete, total insanity this world will go into right away, it's almost there now. Why, you see the footsteps of it. There it is. It's marching right out on the street, right down the church pew. Total insanity. Do things that a human being wouldn't think of doing and being civilized. Look what Hollywood has done to the women. Look how it is. It's robbed the sacred virtues of the woman. And on we could go, see? All this she lost. How did she do it? Because there was a subtle instrument called the church, like there was in the Garden of Eden. A subtle person, the devil, walked into the church just like he did in the Garden of Eden and deceived her into it. She is deceived. The woman think she don't mean to be wrong, even didn't mean to do wrong. It wasn't willingly. And he writes to the left, Garden of Eden. But she, the Bible said in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, she was deceived. And deceive is not when you willfully do it. It's when you are deceived into doing it. Did you see? And he writes here on the back. People will be totally insane and will see the fifth dimension. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, in the message, the power of the Holy Spirit becoming incarnate and working in His church, through that manifestation will come the fulfillment of the tenth vision. What manifestation? The manifestation of the Holy Spirit incarnate in a man at this end time. Therefore, we will see the Holy Spirit in that veil of flesh, working in the tenth vision, both for it to appear. In other words, He's a constructor. Hmm? He is the carpenter. Hmm? He is the instrument which God used, is using, and will continue to use in everything that corresponds to the physical materialization. It is already functioning, and we are already using it. There are some details left, both for it to appear, that is, for the construction, there we have the constructor, as well as for the ministry that will be operated in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. In other words, the two, both works are there. One, God has used him and will continue using him so that it appears, and it has already appeared. In other words, he has been in charge of all that entire work. And the Holy Spirit will also be in him, operating that ministry that will be used by the Holy Spirit in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. See? In the message, the seal of God, here he tells us on page 11, a little part here. He says, what did the sign come by? Why did the churches mark by? What was the sign? We know that Cain had the mark. Then what was the sign of the resurrection? That's what the church is signed by today, the sign of the Holy Spirit. And he writes below, the sign for the bride equals the Holy Spirit through flesh. And our brother William goes on to say here, as simple as that, will be the work of the Holy Spirit at this end time. In the age of the cornerstone, the golden age of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be so simple. It would be so humble. Brother Branham said that if we don't watch, we would overlook it. As simple as that. How would it be? Well, it would be in a construction worker, carrying out the construction and also God using him in the ministry that corresponds to the fulfillment of the tenth vision. On page 43 of the message, The Stature of a Perfect Man, there he says, here our own nation saying the things they are and making fun of these things, and their own money, their currency, testify that the seal of the whole universe is God. See that eye standing up there above that on that dollar bill? And he writes, the seal of the universe on the left. He wrote it. That's the great seal. It was never put on top of the pyramid. They couldn't understand why. The capping stone was rejected, the head, Christ. But it will come someday. And he writes, second coming. And he writes, the coming of Christ equals Moses and Elijah. Now, in building the virtue, building this monument, building this statue, see, it starts off with the foundation stone. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now what does it do? Then they're waiting for the headstone, which is love. And on the right he writes, the mind equal Christ. And he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. They're waiting for the headstone, which is love. For God is love. And he controls and he is the strength of every one of these things. That's right. Yes, sir. Right in here, right in here, you see I got in between all this work in here. And here this little waves come. What is that? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ. See? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this. Welding this together, building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. And a bit further on paragraph 331, he says, you remember the bright tree? Do you remember the sermon on the bright tree? They ate it down, but he pruned it. They got denominational branches, he pruned them off. They raised up another church, denominational branches, he pruned it off. But the heart of that tree kept growing, and in the evening time it shall be light. See, that's when comes Christ, the Holy Spirit. And he writes above, in human flesh, Moses and Elijah. And he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And he writes, restoration of the three bride. And there also he writes, Zechariah 14:7. The Holy Spirit, Jesus comes down and sets himself at the head of the church. And there he writes, as the mighty angel. See, the coming of the Lord, that mighty angel of Revelation chapter 10. And he will resurrect this church, being his own body. And there is the body. And here he writes, the coming, and he writes, of the Lord today at the head of the mystical body, the church. And the way God is expecting us as an individual to grow, the way he has brought his church into grow. Every church age, it becomes one big church, see? These fellows wasn't required what these fellows are. This wasn't required what this was, see? But he brought his church up the same way. He brought his church up the same way. He's bringing his people up. And there on the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. Then Peter here says, first, seven things. Faith, virtue, see, come up, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly love, and brotherly kindness, and then the love of God, the Holy Ghost. And there he writes, God in human flesh, the mighty angel. Christ, in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. And here at the bottom he writes, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. And on top he writes there, the fullness. And you got all these virtues sealed in you. Then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. And our brother William goes on to say here, the stage, or let us read the whole paragraph. As simple as that, will be the work of the Holy Spirit at this end time. In the stage of the age of the cornerstone, the golden age of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the stage for the adoption of the children of God, that is, the stage for the resurrection of the dead in Christ, in eternal and glorified bodies, and for the transformation of the believers in Christ who will remain alive when the resurrection of the dead in Christ takes place. We have seen how the Holy Spirit would be working at this end time, where the fulfillment of the tenth vision would come through that manifestation. In other words, through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in that veil of flesh, we would be seeing both for the construction to appear as well as for the ministry. The God would be operating through the Holy Spirit in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. The 40 days of Jesus on earth before the rapture. Let us stand and does leave with us in this subject, the 40 days of Jesus on earth before the rapture, our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.